poisoning her out. See how you're watching mother with him. Not with her hands, with stick ring.
What's that, the snake poison?
I don't know what they use on it, maybe soon.
Maybe they use snake poison, I don't know.
Well then, did you say something about doctors use that wild turnip, doctor poison? Or don't doctor?
Wild turnip.
Oh, parsnip.
Parsnip.
Wild parsnip.
Maybe.
When women used to live down, Mamie Johnson, mother, you know, she's a doctor woman.
Oh,
yeah. Indian doctor woman. Yeah. One time they said she eats them in Reno, but she never died.
She didn't. Was she wanting to die?
She wanted to die. She wanted to end her life, I guess.
Oh.
Then she eat it. I guess she throw it out and she come out of it, you see.
Hmm.
But the other people, ladies or men, they eat it, they die.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, why do Indians commit suicide like that? Do you have any
idea?
I don't
know. They're tired of living, I guess.
tired of living,
maybe. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Maybe some kind of trouble.
Yeah.
No, I wonder. When white people commit suicide, a lot of whites, sometimes it's money, you know, they...
Yeah, worrying.
Money problems.
Yeah, money problems.
Financial.
And, or trouble with, husbands or wives or something like that. Oh, here's a question that's... I'm just finding these questions in as I go along. I don't understand what songs people seem to own themselves. You know, when a song comes to them, and when other people are not supposed to sing them.
You mean a medicine man?
Or even anybody that, maybe that's it, maybe it's just medicine man.
I think it's a medicine man that, songs come to them and they sing it.
Yeah, just come to them.
Uh-huh.
Naturally, just how type of singers, they make up their own song, sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way with it. Just come to your mind and sing it.
Well, Mabel, if you made up a song, if you happen to think of a song and made it up, why then...
I got it recorded, make up myself.
Right. Then... are other people not supposed to sing your song? To learn it? Suppose somebody heard one of your recordings and learned your song. Would this be not a nice thing for them to sing it themselves?
No.
Etiquette?
Anybody can sing it.
Anybody
can?
Yeah,
just like when they're playing hand game, stick game, and all. They sing different songs and some other they catch on to it. They sing it too.
Yeah.
So people don't really exactly own songs.
No.
Even though they make them up, or even though it comes to them, they don't really own
them. Yeah, then anybody can sing it. Like Popeye.
Yeah.
He's a good singer. How he learned his singing. Himself, or he heard it from other people.
He's
a song that what he sing over there. Most of it's a Shuni song.
Yeah,
the Shuni dancing song.
Is he a Shuni?
No, he's a Paiute. His wife's a Shuni.
They learn it from somebody else.
Somebody catch on the tune fast, you know. Maybe she'll speak to him, but...
Yeah, I'm a singer. I was a singer. You catch it from
other
ways. Fast.
Yeah. Oh, here's another thing that we need to do is get some of the grass that you make brushes out of, and I don't seem to know which one it is every time. Oh, yes. This is the Ethel list. And Ethel, a long time ago, you told that story about when you came home from Austin or over there, and about the horse that died at the spring.
Over you there. That over at Sand Spring.
About losing the puppy, was that the same trip?
Yeah, that's the same trip. He's taking the puppy. He had a little black one, that now.
Uh-huh.
So it was way out there, coming home, you know. They were giving a horse drink, and they told me to.
From Austin, huh?
There was a little trough about that long, made out of board. Mm-hmm. Trough that long and about that wide, about 12 inches wide, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Full of water, spring water.
Spring.
There's a rock pile at the end to hold it up, you know. Then they told me, better give your little dog some water, because we're going to go a long way to go there where there's no water, they said.
Oh.
I took my little puppy and I gave him water right in there. Then I put him on the rock right there at the end of the trough. And I guess he went to sleep. And then when we were ready to come, I jump on the wagon and we come. And we come. I didn't miss it. Right then, I never miss it. But later, when we get further on, I miss it. Where's my dog? I said. Where's my little puppy? You had it last night. Well, you put it when you were giving it water. Right by that trough, I said. Then I start crying.
Oh.
Yes. When we left that place, we were going a little ways from that place. We met an old prospector. He had a donkey, he had a load on his donkey, and he was leading it along on foot. Then he said, don't worry, my stepfather said, don't feel bad, because that man might find it and take it with him.
Oh.
Don't cry no more, he said. But I kept on crying. Look back through the road where we come down through. It's way back there, I see a little black speck moving.
Oh.
Right on the road, we were just going slow. You know, down the hill, we were going slow. Here, this little puppy was running like that. But that tall little one. Then I said, "There's my little puppy's coming." I said, "Wait." For her right here, I said, and we stopped our team and we wait there, and it took it long time for her to reach us. Geez, you could see the water running down here and look like mud sticking in the dust, you know.
Yeah.
I saw a hoon,
no.
It looked like she's been crying.
Yeah.
Then I jump off the wagon and I pick him up and put him in the wagon. Gee, I was glad.
Goodness.
I cried. And then the same time we coming, you know.
Uh-huh.
Then over at the Sand Springs, you know, this team, big team, used to go into Fairview Mountain Mine.
The hall.
Great.
Oh.
A big wagon and pulled by with lots of horses.
Maybe so.
And they feed their horses over there. There's lots of waste. Hay on the ground. Then we had little hay in the wagon, and my stepfather said, "We just turn them loose over here. Lots of waste hay right here. They can pick around." He said, "He turned them loose over there."
Mm-hmm.
They were standing over there eating one place. You know how they always eat. They always put alfalfa, you yeah. know, the hard stem back, and they uh-huh. go for the leaves underneath. Yeah. They, then he said, the unku humutka, and the only alfalfa leaves, the same with the kumisi, and he just leave them alone. Uh-huh. And way out to find a tree that the horse, he kept on doing like this right in here, you know, rubbing it like that, both ways like that. Then the belly commenced to puff up the cat.
Oh, my.
Did he eat too much of that ground corn? Got
oh,
bloated.
Oh, my.
Got somebody bloated. Spilled there, huh?
Uh-huh. Then my stepfather just tried her, you know, took her a little by the rope, and he tried to run with her and make her gallop, you know, along the road like he tried mm-hmm. to do that. But she's in where that horse fell. She can't do nothing.
Oh,
them white men try to help him. We can't save that horse. That's another place where I cried too.
Oh,
yeah, I cried too. Mm, yeah, when we're coming by, there's a horse way out there laying at the flat there. Her legs were sticking up like that, you know.
Mama.
I see it, and I said, a poor horse, I call it Nellie, poor Nellie, I said, uh-huh. we're going to leave our horse over here and we won't see it no more. Nellie, I just start crying again.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Then the way after fire, then this stage come in from Austin, I guess, someplace on the stage was running to Fallon. And there was one man on that stage, he was a little short man, hop-back man. And that's a man, I guess, my stepfather used to know long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Then he found him over there. Then he said, Lee, what you doing way out here in the country? I guess he said that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he told him, we've been out there on the mountains trying to get pines and no pines. And now we're down here and we lost our horse. Our horse died. He told him. Then he says, too bad. Then he told him, when you get into Fallon, any Indian, he says, care who he is, any Indian, you talk to him and you tell him, is that, you tell him to tell him. There was one man over there we know, his name was Austin Dick. He tell Austin Dick to give us a horse, bring us a horse.
Because
we got only one horse left in the wagon.
Uh-huh.
Then we so waited.
You know that he wanted the hunchback man to tell Austin Dick?
Uh-huh. To tell anybody, Indian, you know.
Oh.
Tell anybody, Indian around the farm to tell that
to
man
tell
Dick.
Huh?
Yeah, he heard it and he went over there. He thought we were still at the sand spring, but this big team, they tie us behind their big wagon and they pull us out clear to that place, what they call that place, where that bridge is.
Yeah.
What they call it?
Well, later we called it Grimes Crossing.
Yeah, Grimes, yeah. Right in there, and then he don't want to take us into town because the boss might see me and fire me off the job here.
Uh-huh.
Then he unhitched us over there by the road. Then I was out there playing. All of my stepfather went out hunting for rabbit. I was around there playing around, and my mother said, "You watch out for your grandpa here." Calling my grandpa that Austin.
Oh.
I kept watching way after while I was over there, right on the bridge. I was over there watching. Way out there, I see a man on horseback leading one white horse.
Uh-huh.
Then I run over to my mother and I told him, I think Grandpa's coming because he's got a white horse. I said,
uh-huh.
One of them horses is white.
Uh-huh.
I know that him is coming. It's way
yeah.
up, way up there. Sir. Then you wait over there and tell him where we're at, he said. We can take him a long time to come. Then he come over there. Then he talked to me. He asked me where my mother was. He says, over there, we got a wagon over there. We got wagon and one horse, I said. Then he asked me, how you come down here? No, them big team, they help us out here, I said. And then my stepfather went out hunting rabbits. You know, when I small, I just tell anything out. Then I tell him, and then he told me. Then we went over there where my mother was staying. They talked over there, and after a while, that man said, I'm going back to Fallon. He said, I'll leave this white horse here for you. So he go tomorrow, he said, go to my house when you get in Fallon. So tomorrow morning we get ready, harness up a horse, and we come to Fallon, and we come to this man's place. We stayed over there. And from Fallon, we called for help, another help, from here
to Nixon.
To Nixon for Charlie Winnemucca.
Oh.
We told him to bring us a horse. A horse died. And about 2 days after that, he went over there and gave us a horse. That's how we reached home.
Oh, my God.
We had a hard time.
Gee, and how many days it took you?
Yeah, it took us a long time to come.
From Austin, huh?
No, from way on that side of Eastgate.
Oh,
Eastgate.
I don't know what the place is. That's where the white people live out there in the canyon. I think they're French people. And the lady, she talks good Paiute.
Yeah.
She talks good Paiute, but the man don't. And the old man, he was an old man, white whiskers, clear down to here. down to here. She had two little boys. We stayed over there by their place, and there were two old ladies that's been there with them, stayed with them all winter. And they got a good stone house, and a stove, and lots of wood, and lots of meat.
Oh, gee.
You know, them people had cattle, you know. Uh-huh. Every time they slaughtered, they give them a good piece of meat.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they make jerky out of it.
Oh.
Ethel, where was that? Did you go across the mountain after Eastgate?
No, we went through Eastgate. I don't know how many miles we went. Then we took off the road this way.
Right-hand road?
Yeah, uh-huh. That road goes to Austin, you know.
Straight ahead goes to Austin.
It was the old road, not the new highway.
Yeah.
It was the old road. We turned this way. From on the other side of Eastgate, we turned this way, and we go way up that. There's a mine way up there, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We went fast by there, and we keep on going.
I think there's a mountain over there called Buffalo Mountain, isn't there?
I don't know what they call the mountain.
Maybe you would have ended up by going to Ireland.
The last time I was over there, there was a place there, a mining camp over there, and I think the name of it was a Pinellas Mine.
Pinellas Mine, you're right.
Yeah.
Gee, good memory.
When I was small, I see anything. I hear somebody say something, anything like that. I don't forget it.
No, you sure don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ethel, how long did you stay at Sand Springs?
We come over there in the afternoon, I think, from Eastgate.
Yeah.
We come on, it take us all nearly all day to
yeah.
come, you know, come to Fairview. Then we stayed over there, and he said, we're going to stay over here and have a horse rest. And that's what my stepfather said. That's how we lost our horse over there.
Mm-hmm. How many days did you stay at Sand Springs before they came?
Just one day.
Just one day, and those people pulled you back, huh?
Then we stayed overnight over there by the river, right. By the bridge.
By Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
What was there at Grimes? Was that adobe house there?
There was kind of a little store there. I had worn out all my dresses, and I had a ragged dress on. Then my mother and we come up to that place, and she bought some kind of funny goods, you know.
Yeah.
She made me funny dress. I wore only one dress.
Oh.
When we come to Fallon.
Oh.
I guess my little underwear under my dress. You ought to see my dress while I was. The front part was gone and then little piece left way behind me.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, I play too much.
Oh, yeah.
I play too much and I tear my dresses. I didn't have many clothes either. We sure did have that time, that time.
And you didn't get any pine nuts either?
No, there were no pine nuts.
Now, was this man related to you, this Austin?
Yeah, that old man, the Austin Dick, he was related to my mother. I don't know how, but I call him Grandpa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Austin Dick was related to Wizzy's father, Sam Dick.
I think so. Sam? Sam Dick and Wizzy's father,
yeah?
Yeah. I guess they're all one family, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, Wizzy's father was related to my mother, too. But my grandpa and my grandpa, grandmother and grandpa, they're from the Stillwater. That little dog was, that time the Indian used to go to California to pick up.
Oh, yes.
And Rosie Chavez had that little pup.
Yeah.
They were going on a passenger train, and they had it over there by the depot for taking me then that. Their mother told him, the dog's not allowed on the car. Better give it to Ethel. She'll take care of it. And she calls that little, them girls, you know how funny they are when they're small.
Yeah.
They call that little puppy Papululu. Papululu. That's what they call it. Yeah, they call it Papululu. Then we went that way, so I took him with me. Then I forgot it over there by the trough. The last time I was up there, that little trough was still there, and the rocks were still there.
Yeah.
And up here, further on, there were two big cement tanks built by the CC boys in it.
Yeah.
And a group running through that water. And there was still some water in that little old trough.
The old trough.
What was that way? Bennett Peak in the time when I was small. But when I got big, we always come to Coma, Brunswick, up this way. Because this children don't know what I meant. But yeah.
Gee, that's a long ways to go
pine-nutting. Yeah, with the wagon.
Yeah,
and not,
the wagon.
And not having any pine-nuts when you get there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, when we were up there, there was an old prospector around there. He had no horse. And nothing, but he was on foot. He walked all over the mountains around there. Way after a while, he hired my stepfather to take him out there. Then he paid him.
Oh.
That's why we just stay up there.
Uh-huh.
No plans, but we stay up there. But he's hauling that man around different places in the wagon.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And what, did you take a tent along with you those days?
Huh?
Did you take a tent along with you?
Uh-huh.
So you had it lived in a tent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's... Isn't that an interesting
story? Yeah. Hardships.
Yes, you can almost see what's happening.
Yes,
She paints really good word pictures.
Uh huh. Yeah. She is always.
How did Lee Winnemucca earn his living? Was he did he fish?
No.
What? Did he work for somebody?
No, nothing. Sometimes he hauled freight for that store man down there, Golding, they call him. He got his, his freight comes on into Waters by train, and he hauls his stuff, from Waters to Nixon in a wagon.
Oh, I see.
Then he pays him.
That's
the only thing he does, you know.
You know, I don't understand how people got enough money to live off of. Do you remember that?
They struggle on.
Struggle on.
Yeah. No matter what they eat, potato. Potato and gravy, plain.
That's all.
Bread. Indian bread.
I can remember when my father didn't have anything. We just lived on whatever we can scrape up.
Whatever you could find. I mean, no income, no.
No.
And no pensions? Or
no
old pensions.
Uh-huh.
No pensions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this man go out and hunt. That's the only time they have meat.
Yeah, my father used to go
meat,
out and
or
hunt
rabbit,
rabbits.
Or ducks. That's what they live on. Fish.
Well, in those days, you could go out anywhere and hunt ducks, you know.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere, any time. Anytime.
Plenty
of rabbits then.
But they would even have to buy shells, wouldn't they? For
their
homes.
Whatever
shells.
Money they have is goes for shells.
Mm-hmm. Would you go to bed hungry sometimes?
Sure.
Yeah, that is, you're so used to it, you don't.
Yeah.
It's just a common everyday thing when you could go to bed hungry.
It's been a long time since you've gone to bed hungry, though, now.
Okay, yeah. Go and eat now.
I've never gone to bed hungry. I've never known what it was like not to have some food.
Lucky, huh?
Yeah, but so it interests me, the hardships. I just don't quite understand them, you know.
Yes. White people don't know what Indians have gone through just in late years, you know. Since my childhood days.
Yeah.
And we used to think that white people were different. Entirely different. Indians make fun of them too, just like white people do, you know.
Sure.
We think they don't know anything, you know, white people do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they
don't know
the kind of
ways,
things that...
things, you know, our ways.
Right. I didn't. And although I lived Well, ever since I can remember, there have been people, Indian women around our house, uh-huh. helping mother and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know Indians until I got to know Wuzzy.
Oh.
They were just, yeah, it would be nice to them and talk to them a little bit.
Yeah.
I was just almost sometimes half scared of them.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Maybe I was afraid that they would look at me and growl. I wasn't really afraid of them, you know, afraid.
Just,
but
I was you didn't know how they were going to react to your ways.
You just didn't have any communication at all. I do remember one old lady would come and sit and talk, but she was very hard for me to understand. I think maybe Mother understood her a little bit better. But one of the things that I do remember so well, she told about when she was a girl, when the 49ers came across the 49er trail over there, and mm-hmm. apparently some of them had a broken down wagon and went off and left it. And the Indians, of course, were curious and went to see what it was. And it had been abandoned, but they came across these sacks of beans and flour.
Oh.
And they didn't, but I can remember her saying, "We not know that stuff, grub."
Mm-hmm.
And so they threw it all, oh, they had a ball.
Hey, I heard that too.
And then another thing that they did, they thought the flour was white paint. And as long as it was good white paint, why they mixed it all up and they smeared it on their rabbit skin blankets because they thought it was they thought it was white paint.
Yeah.
And they eat the bars of soap.
Yeah.
They thought it was fat.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of fat.
But and of course goodness, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to talk to that old woman now that had seen that, had really seen those old 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
wagons around Fallon. So they came right across that 40-mile desert, you know, almost right there close to Fallon.
Jean was telling me about someplace, they lived over near Tonopah, and there was one old Indian woman that lived not too far from there, had a camp there. And she took pictures of her. And she lived there under just an old makeshift sagebrush, under an old juniper tree.
Uh-huh.
The pictures that I saw, what she took.
Huh.
And little baskets and kettle or something over here. She was real old. And she said they went over there, they would take food to her.
How come Jean Smith?
Jean Smith
told
me this.
Yeah, she told me that.
Uh-huh.
He's showing you woman.
Yeah, she showed me.
She told me about her one time in Fernley.
So her friend came one day, and then they said they'd move her to a cabin right near their place.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and got her, and they just made motions to her and took her down to the cabin and cleaned her up. She had plenty of old clothes on,
mm-hmm.
pinned here and there with sticks and stuff. So they took her and cleaned her up and gave her their clothing, you know, pants, mm-hmm. underpants. She said they gave her bloomers, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and dressed her up and put her in this little cabin, gave her everything, you know, to be comfortable with. And then the next day, she was gone. And she had all these clothes taken off, took all her clothes off and put these old rags back on herself again and went back to her same place again.
I wonder why she would do this. Was she afraid of those clothes or something, do you know?
No, that's just her ways. That's just her way. I think she didn't want to be changed. That's her home there under the... So finally later on when the weather was getting cold, why some relative came after her.
Uh-huh.
Took her away.
Uh-huh.
I guess she's always lived there, you know.
And was the only food that she was getting just
what people gave her. And I guess she's scrounged around for other things that she ate.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. She showed me the pictures. I hope she gave them, given me those pictures someday.
Who is this?
Jean Smith, that woman that used to own the store in Nixon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know.
She goes see her once in a while.
Uh-huh, I go and stay with her once in a while. Every once a week, I guess.
She lives all by herself.
Get her groceries. Uh-huh, she's all crippled and can't walk.
She's an Indian lady?
No, she's a white woman, uh-huh.
We all know her real well.
Uh-huh. Oh. She's just like one of us, you know, sit down and joke. And she knows all the Indians from Nixon and their Indian names. And
I wonder if she would let those pictures be copied, if she would.
I think so.
Because I'd see to it that they got back.
Oh, yeah, I think she would. I'll ask her.
And put them in the in the Indian files.
Yes.
All the kinds of stories that are that make Indians more real, so that people understand.
Yes, that's a
we got
a cute story.
My grandpa's sisters lived here 100 and I don't know we can.
They used to live over here in Mound House.
Yes.
They lived there long time.
They go pioneering over there by Virginia Martin.
They probably walked up there.
Just walk a little ways and camp out there.
Oh, yes, well, I remember those.
I forgot their names.
They're your two grandmothers, huh?
Uh-huh, my grandfather's sisters, or cousins, or something like that.
Mabel, have we got down and taped some place? We have, haven't we? Who your ancestors are, and there's a, did we do that for you?
Mm-hmm. Family tree?
Yeah.
Yeah, you picked it up for me.
And it's in those.
You gave me one. I got it home now.
Uh-huh.
And that Pam, another lady, a young lady used to stay there. She made one. Same kind. But she goes to Albert Ellick. Find out, he tells her, because he know more about it, his side.
Uh-huh.
And she gave me one cup.
And did we got apples that same day, didn't we? Did I get you?
Huh?
Make your family tree, did we make your family tree? Over at Mabel's that day?
Yeah. You make paper.
I got it. In my bureau. Put it in my bureau.
Josie likes to have one.
Cup it from hers.
Yeah. And then you can make it from there on down for your grandkids.
Gee, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Gee, I'd sure like to have a copy of those words, though.
Those words?
You'd never have a chance like that again.
If
unless it's going to be made into a book.
Oh, gosh. I really don't know. I did talk to them up there at the university, and they were a little bit interested, but it would be kind of an expensive thing to print in a book, but they might do it if enough Indians cared about it. Do you realize that Sven, this man who did the writing on these, that he has, I think it's 60,000 of these slips of paper of Paiute language?
Yeah.
He has an awful lot of them.
Has he got it over here at the university in the pile, or what?
At the University of Idaho.
Oh, Idaho. Gee, it would be nice if it was put into a book, and I bet a lot of people would buy it. The Indians would buy it.
You think that they would?
Think so. Because that's going to be lost pretty soon.
Sure is.
The language, not like my grandchildren don't even talk Indian.
Oh, Mabel, before we take this tape off here, why don't you tell the owl story that you told us several times? On the tape.
Yeah.
Oh, good. We'll tell it in Piler in the English.
Yeah, then I'm easy.
I'm a little closer. Do you want to tell it in
Piler
or English, or both?
Oh, dear.
Piler to Rehaus, 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 Rehaus. It's easier if you're talking Piler.
Maybe Josie.
Help me out, can you?
Translate.
Well,
well,
I don't know.
Let's tell the whole story first.
Yeah.
And then you can even translate it.
Kind of cold.
Yeah, I'll turn the heat up just a little bit more now.
Uh-huh. Where the, my grandma used to tell us this story a long, long time ago about owl. A man and his wife walk along through the sandy hills and going somewhere. And this woman got the kawana. His wife got kawana back of her.
A big basket.
Yeah, big basket.
Uh-huh.
And they going through some kind of pine trees.
Uh-huh.
And then the man said, what would you do if an owl, lots of owls come along, you know, one owl and some more owls keep coming, what would you do? He say that to his wife. His wife scold him. Ah, don't say that. You know, that's pretty bad way to talk. You know, we're way off from everybody. You shouldn't say that. Scold him. So, sure enough, one owl come down from tree, landed right close to them, up above there, where they walk along. See it. Another one come down, sit by the other owl, say the same thing. Every minute, another one fly down from somewhere, just come by thousands of that quick. Surrounded by the trees, all sitting on every branch. Pretty soon one owl fly down to him, pick on his face, pick his meat.
Uh-huh.
Another one come down, sit on his head, pick all eating him up. And another one come down and pick his eyes out. Can't see, all the meat's gone. They tear up his some kind of shirt and start to eat his leg and meat all over. Eat him up and he can't see nothing. He lay down on the ground. And his wife got scared and she run away from him and put that kawana over her, cover herself, hold on to the kawana like this, tight to the ground, sit inside, looking at them owls. Lots of owls picking on her man.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a nice buckskin dress. I don't know what kind of dress she got, but anyway, she got the rabbit bones all over her dress for beads. And that sounds pretty, sounds good. And a big lot of noise when she walk. And And then she when the owls all eat the man up, they all go away somewhere else, fly back. And then the lady got out of that basket and started to run that way and make her dress make a nice noise. And then that man laying there, he get up and go after his wife. She keep running, look back this way every minute. She keep on running fast, and that man can't see nothing, go anywhere like this, stumble on. And then the woman, that man never stopped chasing her. That woman start to run along the embankment like this. And then that woman, her dress make more noise. Lots of bones, her beads on her dress. Mm-hmm. That woman stopped, make noise, stand still, and the man thought that she went to, when he don't hear the noise anymore, he went down to the bank, but that's the end of it.
He fell over the bank?
Yeah, get lost.
Oh. And she was afraid of him because he was a skeleton.
Yeah,
huh?
Skeleton, red all over.
Oh, it had blood on him, huh?
Yeah, blood on the bone. That's the end. I forgot the other long story. My grandmother used to tell us.
Maybe you went to sleep about that time.
That's the kind of the owl sing, the owl got song.
Is that
that's the one I put it in?
Was that the moot?
Moot, top bottom. Say, moot, top bottom, iana, 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 moot, top bottom, iana. That's the song to them, to their.
That's the
owl song.
That's the
moo. Moo. The topori, you know, moo just fly to something, rabbit or anybody, claw, put his claw on the topori.
Oh, just, I see. That's
what it means.
Ah. You know, that was the kind of a story that would keep you awake at night.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah, it's a scary story. Jesse, do you remember any stories?
No, I don't even remember any stories.
You know, Mabel's a fabulous storyteller. Isn't she? Great
storyteller. She remembers quite a lot.
Hello. 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 Hello.